So much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM.
Baby, even you don't know by now, and it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, it'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm a-traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right. And it ain't no use in the turning on your light, babe. The light I never knowed. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road, but I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think twice, it's all right. So it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never done before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering, walking down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I'm told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. But don't think twice, it's all right. So long, honey, baby, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, baby, so I just say fairly well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. Don't think twice, it's all right.
Try someone, baby, Lord. Wow. This is the Born to Lead program. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. So today we continue with our special topic, the challenges in leadership. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Once again, if you just join us, this is the Born to Lead program. We're here to discuss a special topic today about challenges of leadership. As we started last week, thank you for joining us. If you just tune into 104.6 Planet FM, you are listening to the Born to Lead program. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Well, thank you all for listening. So we're going to be, just continue what we discussed last week. So last week we picked up a special topic, which was challenges in leadership. And we discussed or we talked about different types of challenges and where it comes from. So we looked at external sources, that is other people and situations, which usually sometimes you have no control over as a leader. And then also what is within you as a leader, that is the internal sources of some of the challenges. And then the leadership itself, which was the third part. I mean, the circumstances of leadership, you know, which throws challenges, you know, on the mantle of being a leader. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the categories and some strategies that we can use to address some of these challenges when it comes to leadership. So looking at external challenges, which is usually things that you cannot control because maybe they are social, political, so many factors, external, financial challenges and all that. So, and we must know that it is one of those challenges that sometimes you have to take the bull by its horn and make a decision, because you cannot sometimes get all the facts or get everything on the ground before you make a move as a leader. So the world surprises us at every turn, throwing up barriers where the way seems clear and revealing broad highways where there seem to be only brick walls. Both kinds of surprises, sometimes the positive more than the negative, present opportunities for exercising leadership. So in every sometimes challenge, there's an opportunity to exercise leadership. So with all these challenges that entail, so some common situations that call for leaders to use their resources, you know, are many. And one, you look at public criticism, especially on uniform criticism of your group or your mission. So that is one of those areas. You also look at flare-ups of others' interpersonal issues, either within your group or your organization or outside it. And then also you look at something like crisis, which could be tied to finances. So there could be financial crisis, there could be, you know, program deficiency, it could be politically related, it could be public relations, like scandals, you know, coming in and out here and there, legal issues, lawsuits upon suit, you know, and even spiritual issues, loss of enthusiasm, loss of morale and all that. And then you look at disasters, could also be one of those things. So these are different from crisis. You know, when you look at disasters, and sometimes we put all of them in one basket, but disasters, you know, are different from crisis in that in crisis, sometimes important, which is usually negative, but not always, seems to be happening and you are trying to control the situation. But in a disaster, the worst has already happened and you are trying to deal with that in some way. So that is a striking difference between crisis and disaster. You also look at something like opposition and or hostility from powerful sources, you know, sources that could be very influential when it comes to making decisions as a leader. To look at like business groups, local government, central government, influential organizations, you know, very powerful groups that could influence, you know, some of these decisions that you make. And then also we have financial or political windfall. So when there's a gap, sometimes an unexpected benefit can be harder to handle than a calamity. Again, collaboration with another group or organization may call upon a leader to define clearly the boundaries within which he can operate and to balance the needs of his own group with those of the collaborative initiatives as a whole. So this is by no means a comprehensive, you know, list of items, or maybe toolbox users can be, will be able to think of many other possibilities from their own experiences. I mean, if you are a very seasoned leader, if you're a very experienced leader, I mean, you could think of so many things or other factors that you think, you know, could be part of what we've just discussed. It is clear, however, that leaders are often tested by external events and people. So your ability to overcome some of these challenges or hurdles, you know, makes you a leader. I mean, it makes you a successful leader in a way. So what are some of the general strategies they can use? And when I mean they, I mean leaders can use to cope with these and other external and therefore often unpredictable and uncontrollable circumstances. So how do we cope with external challenges? How do we make sure that we put things under control when it comes to external challenges? One, you know, be proactive. Put it down. Number one, be proactive. Regardless of the situation, it is important for leaders to do something. You know, sometimes do nothing is not an option. Although in business or in any business or political analysis, do nothing is the first option, you know. But sometimes do nothing is not an option because you got to do something about it depending on what the situation is. Waiting is occasionally the right strategy. But even when it is, it makes a group nervous to see its leader apparently not exercising some control. Number two, be creative. Try to think outside the box. As a leader, the onus lies on you to do something different, to do something more innovative and creative. You know, do something unusual, do something that is unexpected, you know, something that people were not expecting it. But when it works, that is good. So you cannot be doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. No. So try to think outside the box as a leader in an unexpected but effective ways. If disaster has struck, how can you turn what looks like the end of the world into a new beginning? If you are in that situation as a leader, what do you do? Can you change the way the organization operates to deal with the loss? Can you use the fact that you are about to lose services to gain community and political support? Is this an opportunity to diversify your funding? Can you expand horizons and your reach throughout collaboration? Don't just look at the obvious, but consider a situation where all perspectives and search for unusual ways to make things work. Number three, face conflict squarely. Face conflict squarely. This doesn't mean, come out fighting. If you say face the conflict squarely, it doesn't mean that you have to come out with a force, you know, fighting, but rather identify and acknowledge the conflict and work to resolve it. This is true both for conflict within your group And I keep saying it could be a very small group, maybe a sports team, or it could be a dancing, you know, team or a group, or, you know, a cleanup exercise, you know, that is being done by a social group. You know, it could be any, or a corporate organization. It could be anything. It doesn't matter how big or small your organization or your group is. A conflict between the group and others outside it. So far too many people, leaders included, act as if conflict doesn't exist because they find it difficult or frightening to deal with. As a result, it only grows worse. You know, it becomes worse and worse. And by the time it erupts, it may be nearly impossible to resolve it. If it is faced nearly any conflict can be resolved in a way that is beneficial for everyone involved, including the leaders, including people who are the beneficiaries or the stakeholders when it comes to the organization. It is a function of leadership to have the courage, and I mean the courage, to name the conflict and work on it. Number four, always look for a common ground. There should always be a common ground. You know, halfway, meet some circumstances halfway where all parties on table could be happy with the results. If there's opposition to what you are doing, it may only be to one specific part of it or maybe based on misunderstanding. There are few groups or individuals who don't have some common interest. So if you can find those, you may have the basis for resolving problems, making it possible for people to work together. So it is very important to always look for a common ground as a leader. Number five, write it down. Retain your objectivity. Retain your objectivity. If you are mediating a conflict, or so if you are mediating a conflict, trying to solve a conflict within an organization, don't take sides. Try and not be objective. Even if you think you know one side is right, that will come out if you mediate objectively and well. If you are faced with distractors or opposition, don't automatically assume their valence. What are their concerns? Why do they disagree with what you are doing? Don't get sucked into a fight unless there is really no alternative. Even rapid opposition can often be overcome through a combination of respect, political pressure, and creative problem solving. So try and be objective as a leader in terms of conflict mediation. Number six, look for opportunities to collaborate. Always look for opportunities to what? To collaborate. It is very important. It is important both within or outside your group or your organization. Within the group, involve as many people as possible in decisions. Make sure that you have control over what they do. The more they own their jobs and the organization, the more enthusiastic they will be, more effective the organization will be. And the more effective you will be as a leader. In other words, if you have the support of your subordinate, if you have the support of the people that you are leading, you know, you will be effective, the organization will be effective, and the people who share the vision and or the goal of your group or your organization will also be effective. So look for opportunities to collaborate as a leader. That is very important, and it helps the organization to grow and you to grow as a leader. So let them know what you are doing. Get and give the support. Again, get the support, give the support, give and take, and work with them to the extent you can. make common cause with other groups that have similar interests. Try and involve all stakeholders when it comes to situations like that. In numbers, there is strength. So together, you can do it. And you'll be stronger as an alliance of groups than any one of you could be individually. So that is how you go about it when it comes to external challenges. Some of the strategies that you can use. Now, let's look at the internal challenges. I mean, something within you. See, leaders are human. We are all human. And we are bound to make mistakes. We have our weaknesses and we have our strengths. No one is born perfect. That is hardly news to say that leaders are human. But it means that they come with all the same problems and failings as everyone else. One of the greatest challenges of leadership is facing your own personal issues and making sure that they don't prevent you from exercising leadership. So acknowledging the attitudes and the tendencies that get you in, that get in your way, and working to overcome them is absolutely necessary if you are to become an effective leader. Among the most common personal traits that good leaders have to overcome or keep in check are, number one, insecurity. So feeling insecure is one of these things. Many people feel, at least some of the time, that they are not up to the task they face. They may even believe that they are fooling people with their own air of competence when they know that they are really not capable at all. So insecurity of that sort keeps them from being proactive. It keeps them from being creative. It keeps them from thinking outside the box. So from following their vision, from following, you know, their goal, from feeling like leaders. It can be crippling to both a leader and their organization or a group. Secondly, defensiveness. Also born of insecurity, defensiveness shows up most often as inability to take criticism. So other people might catch on to the fact that you are incompetent, as you know you are. And continuing hostility to everyone, even an ally who voices it. So defensiveness often also includes a stubborn resistance to change ideas, to change plans, you know, assumptions, even if they've been shown to be ineffective. And then three, lack of decisiveness. Sometimes it is hard to make a decision. I mean, we all experience it in one way or the other. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of leadership role you are in. Whether at home, at work, you know, sports, you know, organizations, it doesn't really matter. We are all, in one way or the other, prone to, you know, making or being in that situation. Maybe if you had a few more facts, the reality is that leaders are called on to make decisions all the time. Often with very little time to consider them, it is important to have as much information as possible. But at some point, you just have to make a decision and live with it. Some decisions are reversible and some are not. But in either case, it is important to learn to make a decision when necessary and understand the living with the consequences is part of being a leader. So when you make a decision, no matter how big or small it is, some of them are reversible. You can go back and undo them. Some are not. You make the decision and that is it. Imagine being a commander, a captain, you know, of a troop of soldiers on a battlefield, and you give the command for people to shoot and people die. And it comes out that there was a false intelligence. I mean, you can't bring the people back to life, right? But you made a decision based on what? On the information that you had at that time, and you had to make a call. So sometimes you have to live with the consequences, you know, of your decisions, you know, as a leader. And we say it is part of being a leadership. And it's part of what? Being a leadership. And again, let's look at the inability to direct when there's a problem. Many people want so badly to be liked, or are so afraid of hurting others. They find it difficult, very difficult, to say something negative. They may be reluctant to tell someone he is not doing his job adequately, for instance, or to address an interpersonal problem. Unfortunately, by letting these things go, they only make them worse, which makes them still harder to address. It is essential to learn when firmness is necessary and learn how to exercise it. Again, inability to be objective is also one thing that needs to be looked at. Neither looking at situations through rose-colored glasses nor being always on the edge of hysteria is conducive to effective leadership. Just as objectivity is important in dealing with external issues, it is also important to monitor your own objectivity in general. There is a difference between being optimistic individual and being unable to see disaster looming because it is too painful to contemplate. By the same token, seeing the possible negatives in apparently positive situation is not the same as being paralyzed by assumption that calamity looks around every corner. The inability to accurately identify the positive and negative in a situation and react appropriately can create serious problems. And three, impatience. So being impatient with others, being impatient with situations as a leader, it may seem given the importance of decisiveness and firmness, that patience is not a virtue as a leader, or it is something that a leader does not need. In fact, it is perhaps the most important trait to develop. Situations do not resolve themselves instantly, and everyone who's ever been involved in an organization knows that the rule number one is that everything takes longer than you think it will. People in unfamiliar situations need a while to orient themselves. Leaders who are impatient may take rash decisions, may alienate staff members or volunteers or allies or friends, and can often make situations worse rather than better. It is hard to be patient, but it is worth the effort. Again, this so far, what I've just gone through with you, is so far from complete. but it includes many of the most common stumbling blocks that leaders throw in front of themselves. And fortunately, there are some strategies that can be used to identify some of these stumbling blocks. And that, we're going to deal with that. And that is how we can be able to overcome some of these challenges. So, we're going to go for a music break. When we come back, we'll look at some of these things, some of these strategies that we can use to cope with some of the challenges. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. If you just join us, this is the Born Too Late program. So today we are looking at challenges of leadership. And we've looked at some of the challenges, the external, the internal challenges, and some of the things that come from leadership itself. So today we've looked at some of the strategies that can be used to identify and remove some of these challenges, or identifying the challenges and how we can remove them. And just before the break, we talked about how we're going to look at some of the strategies that we can use to probably remove some of these blocks and at least cut them down so that you can jump over them more easily as a leader. So the first one we're going to look at is number one. So when it comes to coping with internal challenges, there are things that you struggle with internally, you know, as a leader. What are some of the things that you could do to overcome some of these internal challenges? Number one, listen. Okay? Listen to people's responses to your ideas. Listen to people's responses to your plans, your opinions, what you put on the table. Listen. It is very important to listen as a leader. Listen more than you talk. Okay? And probably that's why God gave us one mouth and two ears. You have to listen more than you talk. See, you have to listen more than what comes out of your mouth. Listen to a broad range of people, not just to those who agree with you. Try and cut across people who even oppose you. Listen to their opinions. Listen to their ideas. Probe to find out why they think or feel the way they do. Assume that everyone has something important to say. If you hear the same things from a number of different and diverse sources, you should at least consider the possibility that they are different or that they are accurate. If they are about things you do that you can change, you might give it a try. Number two, ask for feedback, full feedback. 360 degrees feedback and use it. Okay? Ask for a full degree feedback. This feedback, which is usually people's views of you from everyone around you, it could be your friends, it could be your staff members, it could be your fellow volunteers, it could be your board members, it could be your participants, it could be people from other organizations, it could be different stakeholders, different levels who are giving you that feedback or giving you their view of what you do as a leader, or what are some of the things that they agree or disagree with you. So anyone you work with, or anyone you work for, anyone that come across as someone very important or could give you a very, you know, good feedback, whether positive or negative, include that person in that circle. So because as with listening, if you hear that the same thing from a lot of different sources, it is probably true. So if a lot of people from different angles are telling you the same thing, then it might be true. So you got to listen and act on it. So you don't just get the feedback and then just pack it outside or put it in a box and then just forget about it. No, you have to get the feedback from people and then you act on that. So that is very important. If you don't act on it, then it doesn't mean anything. So all the feedback in the world won't do any good unless you do something about it. So you can have about thousands of feedbacks, you know, from different people, different organizations, friends, family members, you know, people who are strangers, they listen to you or maybe they admire you from afar. You know, it could be coming from different media, you know, through social media, television, radio, whatever, your newspapers, anything. Different media coming to you, giving you feedback about probably maybe your style of leadership or what you do, and you don't do anything about it, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. So all the feedback that you get does not do any good unless you do something with it. Number three, look at what is going on around you. You have to be very vigilant. You have to make sure that you have a sense of listening and feeling what is around you. It is part of being a leader. Okay? You walk into a room, you have to feel the atmosphere of the people within the organization or your team. You always have to put your ears on the ground and feel what is going on around you. If you have no clue, then it's a serious problem. Are you the center of controversy or chaos? Or do you calm and good feeling seem to reside wherever you do? The chances are that the answer lies somewhere in between these extremes. But it is probably should be closer to the calm and good feeling inside. Even if you are involved in a battle with forces of evil, you can foster calm in yourself and those you work with. At the same time, your group could be on top of the world, and you and your colleagues could still be climbing the walls if that is the kind of atmosphere you create. Number 4, reach out for help in facing internal challenges. Don't just sit down and do nothing. Reach out for help. Because that's how we were created. You know, you are not created to be perfect. You are not born to be perfect. You have your weaknesses, you have your strength. And what is seemed to be a weakness on your side is a strength by other people who could help. And they might also have some weaknesses that you have the solution because that is your field of expertise, that where you could also help. I can't treat myself. I'm not a doctor. So when I get sick, I need to go to the doctor. I need to go to and see my doctor who is gifted in diagnosing what is wrong with me and giving me solutions to my problem or my challenges. That's how it is. In the same way, the doctor could also come to me for something. Because that is not his field of expertise. But I am good at it. And I could tell you, maybe he's building a house. I'm an engineer. I could say, well, this is what you got to do. This is what you have to do. Do this, do that. And that will conform to the requirement. Or this is what you need to do. Because that is also my field. So you need to have, or you need to what? Reach out to people for your problems. Let people come in. Avail yourself for help to come your way. Many people find prayers or some form of self-discovery helpful in understanding themselves and getting through a challenge. Don't feel you have to do it all your own. You need to reach out for help. It is very, very important. Again, challenges stemming from the nature of leadership role. So, as I said, the leadership itself, the role itself could bring up a lot of challenges that you need to deal with as a leader. Leadership positions bring with it unique demands. So the moment you step in as a leader, automatically, you know, you take up some of these challenges. Our prime minister, you know, automatically took up the challenges when she stepped in as a prime minister. Jacinda Ardern, who was the MP for Montalbert, is not the same as the Jacinda Ardern, who is now the prime minister of New Zealand. Because you've taken up the mantle, you know, as a leader of this great nation. So automatically, the problems of New Zealand become your problems. Although it used to be the problems of just Mount Albert, because that was her electorate. But now she carries the problems of the whole country, the entire country. So leaders can be looked on as authority figures and sometimes as saviors or fixtures, you know, of things that are broken. So you are meant to fix it. You are meant to do something about it. because that is why people have put you in that position in the same place, or probably appointed you. Or even if you are self-made, people look up to you to do something about the situations, about the issues on the ground. So as spiritual guides, as mentors, as models, as inspirers, as teachers, in short, they may be seen, however, others chose to see them. So you may be seen as however others have chosen to see you. Whether you are an inspirer, whether you are you're a motivator, whether you are, you know, whatever it is. You know, you fix problems, you know, you are their spiritual mentor. Whatever the situation is, you know, you inspire others. People look up to you. So when there's a problem, they expect you to fix it. This in itself carries a self challenges. In addition to those posed by those who are leaders, indeed, to do it in order to keep things going. Some of the issues that leaders have to cope with, and because they are leaders. So next week, I think our time is fast spent. So we'll look at some of the things that we need to do to deal with some of these things. Okay, and then probably we'll wrap up with some of the challenges when it comes to being a leader. So there are so many things that need to be, you know, discussed or talked about. But we'll end it here, and then we'll continue next week, and then we'll look at how some of these challenges, you know, could be removed, or we could drastically bring it down, you know, and become effective and efficient leaders. So you just tuned into the 104.6 Planet FM. This was the Born to Lead program. My name is Kizito, and I'm the host. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for participating in today's topic, which was looking at some of the challenges of leadership and how to overcome some of these challenges with some striking challenge, with some striking strategies. So thank you, and then we'll see you next week. Until then, have a good afternoon. Kira. Give your fun and go back when I'm done. Come from the bar. Come and